This is Maria Merchant. I'm a pulmonary and critical care physician with the University of Southern California, Los Angeles. I will be presenting a summary of all four articles published in the Journal of ENT Differential, which is a compendium of articles from the AAO HNS. Article 1, Efficacy of Pneumococcal Vaccine and Otitis Media, a Systemic Review and Meta-Analysis. Acute otitis media is a common childhood disease that can lead to recurrent infections, hearing loss, and surgical intervention such as tympanostomy tube insertion. While pneumococcal vaccines are designed to prevent invasive pneumococcal disease, they were later found to also decrease the incidence of acute otitis media, hospital visits, and antibiotic prescriptions. The researchers conducted this systematic review and meta-analysis to test the hypothesis that pneumococcal vaccine can prevent long-term sequelae and complications of acute otitis media and decrease the need for surgical management, specifically the insertion of tympanostomy tube. To test this hypothesis, they systematically reviewed all studies that looked at the effectiveness of pneumococcal vaccine in preventing complications of otitis media outcomes in children. The primary outcome analyzed was the vaccine efficacy in reducing the rate of tympanostomy tube placement. Secondary outcomes included pneumococcal vaccine effects on the incidence of recurrent otitis media, severe acute otitis media, spontaneous tympanic membrane perforation, otitis media with effusion, and complications like mastoiditis. The meta-analysis that pooled data from 15 randomized trials with over 170,000 children found that pneumococcal vaccines significantly reduced the rate of tympanostomy tube placement by 22.2% compared to control vaccines. This effect was greater in children over 2 years old, suggesting long-term effects of the vaccine. Among the vaccine types, the pneumococcal 7 alone was found to be significantly more effective than the other pneumococcal vaccines. The vaccines also significantly reduce rate of recurrent acute otitis media by about 10%. However, the pooled data did not show significant pneumococcal vaccine effects on the rate of otitis media with effusion. The qualitative review of some studies found pneumococcal vaccine also reduced the incidence of severe acute otitis media and spontaneous eardrum perforation, but the effects and the complication of mastoiditis were unclear. In interpreting the findings, the authors noted that by preventing acute otitis media, pneumococcal vaccine can reduce many of the long-term sequelae and complications that lead to surgical interventions in children, especially after 2 years of age. This supports the use of pneumococcal vaccine in national children immunization programs. In summary, this rigorous systematic review provides high-quality evidence that pneumococcal conjugate vaccines not only prevents pneumococcal infections, but also significantly reduce the burden of recurrent and complicated otitis media in children, lowering the rate of tympanostomy tube and other surgical treatments. Preventing this common childhood disease has major health benefits. Article 2, AI model versus clinician otoscopy in the operative setting for otitis media diagnosis. In this article, the researchers wanted to compare the diagnostic performance of a machine learning model to that of pediatricians using a standard handheld otoscope for diagnosing otitis media in the real-world point-of-care setting. Previous studies have shown that AI model outperform clinician in otitis media diagnosis, but were limited by not being done in the point-of-care environment. This study hypothesized that a machine learning model would achieve higher diagnostic accuracy compared to pediatricians using standard otoscopic examination techniques. To test this, they recruited pediatric patients undergoing ear tube placement surgery. Two pediatricians, one very experienced and one senior resident, perform intraoperative otoscopy on each patient and classified the ears as normal, having fluid built up, also known as effusion, or infected. A high-definition endoscopic image was also taken of each eardrum and analyzed by the machine learning model. The true diagnosis was then confirmed by the surgical findings. The results showed that in the 34 ears analyzed from 18 patients, the machine learning model achieved a significantly higher overall diagnostic accuracy of 90.6% compared to 59.4% for pediatricians. The model had 95.7% sensitivity and 100% specificity for diagnosing any abnormal middle ear condition, while the pediatricians had 69.6% sensitivity and 55.6% specificity. The authors interpreted these findings as further proof that AI model more accurately diagnoses otitis media compared to clinician using a standard handheld otoscope. In summary, this study provides further real-world validation that AI model can outperform pediatricians in accurately diagnosing otitis media based on otoscopic examination alone. By testing the model against clinician using standard handheld otoscope in surgical population, it strengthens the potential for this technology to assist in the point-of-care diagnosis of this highly prevalent pediatric condition. Article 3. Rule of interleukin 5 inhibition in the treatment of eosinophilic otitis media. The researchers sought to investigate whether interleukin 5 inhibitor medications, which are very effective in treating eosinophil mediated disease like asthma, could help treat eosinophilic otitis media. Eosinophilic otitis media is a refractory form of chronic otitis media characterized by eosinophil-rich effusions and is associated with asthma and nasal polyps. The hypothesis was that since interleukin-5 is a key cytokine for activating eosinophils, interleukin-5 inhibitors would be an effective treatment regimen for eosinophilic otitis media. They evaluated this by conducting a retrospective chart review of 120 patients treated with interleukin-5 inhibitors for eosinophilic-driven respiratory disease, 9 of which had the diagnosis of chronic otitis media. The results showed that 7 out of 9 patients had middle ear effusions before starting interleukin-5 inhibitors. Of these, 5 experienced complete effusion resolution within about 4 months of starting treatment. The other 2 patients' effusion had resolved before starting biologics but did not occur on treatment. Most patients' eosinophil levels normalized, and 3 out of 3 patients who had post-treatment otologic tests demonstrated an improvement in hearing. Patients reported subjective improvement in symptoms, and none required otologic surgery while on biologics, whereas eosinophilic otitis media historically has higher rate of recurrence after surgery. The authors conclude these findings suggest that eosinophilic otitis media is an underrecognized comorbidity in patients with eosinophil-driven respiratory diseases. The data supports that interleukin-5 inhibitors can be an effective treatment for eosinophilic otitis media by reducing eosinophilic inflammation in the middle ear, similar to its effect in the airways. They recommend that eosinophilic otitis media patients start biologics promptly to prevent hearing deterioration, and that therapy should be continued even once effusion resolved to prevent recurrence. Limitations of the study includes a retrospective design, lack of definitive eosinophilic otitis media diagnosis, and a need for more structured otologic outcome measures. In summary, this study provides some evidence that interleukin inhibitor medications, which are well-established asthma therapies, can also be an effective treatment for eosinophilic otitis media. Article 4, Otitis Media with Effusion, a possible role for Helicobacter pylori. The aim was to investigate whether the bacterium H. pylori, which was found in sites like the adenoids near the eustachian tube, play a role in chronic middle ear effusions in children. They wanted to learn that in children undergoing adenoidectomy, whether H. pylori was more prevalent in the adenoids in children with otitis media with effusion compared to those without a history of otitis media with effusion. The underlying hypothesis was that if H. pylori colonizes the nasal pharynx, it can potentially contribute to the pathogenesis of pediatric otitis media with effusion. To test this, they conducted a prospective study of 82 patients under age 18 undergoing adenoidectomy. The study group included 45 patients with chronic otitis media with effusion, and the control group had 37 patients with obstructive sleep apnea or recurrent adenotonsillitis, but no history of otitis media with effusion. They also analyzed middle ear fluid from a total of 73 patients, including the otitis media with effusion study group, plus an additional 39 children having ear tubes placed for otitis media with effusion. Adenoid tissue biopsies and ear fluid aspirates were collected and analyzed by polymerase chain reaction, also known as PCR assay, to detect the presence of H. pylori DNA. The results showed that H. pylori was present in the adenoid tissue of 22.2% of the otitis media with effusion study group and 16.2% of the control group, which was not a statistically significant difference. In the middle ear fluid samples, 31.5% were positive for H. pylori. The authors interpret these findings as confirming that H. pylori can indeed be present in the nasopharynx in the middle ear of children with otitis media with effusion. However, the similar rate of H. pylori in the adenoids of children without otitis media with effusion suggests that this bacterium likely does not play a causative role in the development of middle ear disease. The authors note that their nasopharyngeal prevalence rate of around 20% aligns with the wide range of 0 to 64% reported in the previous literature, depending on the H. pylori detection method used. In summary, while this study does demonstrate that H. pylori can be found in the nasopharynx and middle ear effusions of children with chronic otitis media, the lack of increased prevalence compared to children without ear disease does not appear to support a role for this bacterium in the underlying pathogenesis of pediatric otitis media with effusion. Further studies, including an age-matched control group for the middle ear fluid analysis, could help validate these findings. Thank you. So these were the summaries of the four articles published in the issue 1 of ENT Differential.